You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans, secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for 2014 today in what will be a beautiful, modernized First Energy Stadium. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Do not miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. That's 440-824-3434 today. Man, notorious. The CEO, Joe Banner, comes in and breaks it down for 10 minutes. Yeah. Then we get the roundtable with the two main men, the voices of the Cleveland Browns, Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon. And the first hour almost gone from us, and yet we still have so much more to get to. And we do want to hear from all of you out there, 216-578-0850, or tweet the show at Browns_daily. But we heard Jim Donovan talking not only about a story Willis McGahee told, but also how a veteran like a Willis McGahee can say to these guys, listen, this is a big game, but this is what we have to do to get it done.
Yeah.
And McGahee was asked today about the fact that this a big game? You guys are well aware of it, obviously.
We just need to stay focused. You know, like you say, you want to control your own destiny. You don't want them to determine how things are going to play out, because when your back's against the wall, you know, you're going to do anything to fight to get out. So we don't want to be in that situation. And I think these guys realize what the deal is. You know, Coach Shaw preached to us, we need to focus, stay focused on the task at hand. And that's what we've been doing this week.
Yeah, I think a voice like that, call it the voice of reason, voice of experience, is very important for this locker room to hear that guy especially say what he's saying. And that's the media version of what he's talking about, but what he is saying in the locker room to the younger players, to the guys surrounding him, Josh Gordon, let them hear from a guy like Willis McGahee, who's been through the battles of 11 seasons in the NFL and knows exactly and has been part of, you know, playing in places like Denver. He's been part of teams that know this contention thing that
yes.
has been somewhat foreign here in Cleveland for a while for football. And to have that happen, I think, and have that perspective, I think is really huge.
It is very huge, and he has the perspective on what it takes to win. And one of the things he talked about is the desire. Everybody's got to want it.
You know, you have to want it. And that's the thing. You got to go out there every week, you know, prepared to be like, okay, we got to grind it out because our back's against the wall. And, you know, this right here can be something good or it can be something bad. And you want the bad part of it. You want the good part.
Yeah, and so he's defining desire, and I said this earlier when we were talking about this on the roundtable. You don't want this to just be an issue of coaches, you know, saying, hey, this is a big game, or get prepared for it, or more than coaches, media and fans to be tuned in to the magnitude of this game. Hearing players like Joe Hayden and others define it, and now Willis McGahee define it as such, is encouraging to me. And it's just words, but I think it's a reflection of what their thinking is all about and their understanding of what it takes to get there. And just the fact, and I had this conversation with Desmond Bryant last night on the Browns preview show, he was talking about how each position coach has broken down during the bye, broke down for all the players their bad plays.
Yep.
And put together a video clip, which were downloaded to each of their iPads, you know, very easily done by our fine video department here. And what they did, in Desmond's case, he said there were about 25 bad plays that he had, which he said surprised him. He didn't think he had that many. And, you know, when you look at his performance, you would say, guys, sure, everybody probably has a bad play here and there.
It's less than three a game.
But 25. But in his mind, it was a lot, but it was okay because he had the opportunity to spend the entire bye looking at those. I don't know that he spent the whole bye looking at them, but he said he did spend time studying them. And then when they hit the practice field yesterday and then, of course, today and through the rest of this week, it's focused on improving. So each guy from his position coach has his series of, quote, bad plays that he needs to work on. And I think that's phenomenal, and I think that speaks to just the real elevated level of coaching that you see here. We've said it time and again how good this coaching staff really is and what it does. I think that's yet another example of detail-oriented approach.
And I love that. And that's what I love about this coaching staff. It's been steady. It's been detail-oriented. It's been about the process and getting the results on the field. And clearly, everybody on this team has bought into it. That's what's so great. The buy-in is 100%. And the chemistry, we talked about this team galvanizing just a couple weeks ago, and you're seeing it on the field. The chemistry of this team that comes from the coaches to the players, I think, is one of the big strengths of this team. And a guy who's been around a lot of successful teams, Willis McGahee, also thinks the chemistry of this football team is phenomenal.
Oh yeah, we not only had a chemistry center, we had a chemistry to lead the race. You know what I mean? We got the coaches that has faith in us. You know, they never gave up on us. And I've only been here for a little while. You know, they have faith in these guys. We're a very young team, but at the end of the day, you know, we're very close together, and we don't doubt it.
Yeah, very close together. Observing this as someone who came into the picture pretty late in the program, but could pick up right away the feeling of some bonding that's gone on. And, you know, good football teams have a common trait. They're tight. They do get along. They understand each other. There's a level of compassion. I'm not saying in every team it has to be buddy buddy all the way through. It's not unlike most workplaces. Not everybody is great friends in a workplace, but you are close with some of your colleagues, and usually the ones that you work with the most tend to be part of an extended family if you're in a harmonious place like that. And with a football team, the best teams I've been around. I've been around Super Bowl teams. I've seen it up close. I understand what it looks like. And what it looks like, Nathan, is guys do hang out. Guys do bond. You can feel it in the locker room when you're in there. And you can see it in this locker room. When I go down there and see the byplay between these players, and you're getting it's snapshots. You're not in there all day with them or whatever, but you're in there long enough to just kind of see in their environment how they kind of interact. And exactly what I think Willis McGahee is identifying is key to what this team hopefully can do in these remaining weeks.
And you're exactly right. And I think there's a mentality with the Cleveland Browns team that they had a belief, the organization had a belief, and the coaching staff had a belief in them that was not shared outside of the city of Cleveland.
Right.
I don't think anybody else in the country gave this team the respect that this team felt like it was going to earn and is earning right now, and that the coaching staff in this front office believed it could achieve this year. And I think it's got that mentality for the Browns gives them a little bit of that us against the world legitimacy. And Willis McGahee, he talked about that.
Okay. Well, we're going to try to get that sound. If we don't have that sound, the us against the world.
But I like that.
Focus is a great, yes, and it's one of the most, I don't know what you want to call it, the most fundamental rallying cries, and here it is from Willis.
I just think that it's us against the world. You know, nobody thinks the Browns can do it, you know.
Yeah.
Me, that's how I look at it. You know, I like to prove people wrong. That's how I go about doing it, you know.
And I like that. And this Cleveland Browns team has an opportunity to prove a lot of people wrong. John Clayton was on this show last week. He said that the Bengals will run away with this division. Well, they lost to the Ravens last week. The Browns have already beaten them this year. In fact, the Browns have beaten them the last two times they have faced them. Now, those two games were here in Cleveland, 34-24 last year, 17-6. They have not beaten the Bengals in Cincinnati since the 2008 season. Obviously, that's something that the Browns want to rectify. They have a chance to do it in epic fashion and show the world that this 2013 Cleveland Browns team is not one to be taken lightly. I think they've already proven that. This would be an emphatic stamp, a watershed moment, as Notorious has said earlier, for the Cleveland Browns organization as it moves forward into the future with the goal of building a team that is going to be playing meaningful games in December and January, year after year after year, and how sweet that will be.
Oh, man.
We will be back with hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Joe Reedy, who covers the Bengals, will be with us at 2:10. Gerard Cherry will stop by for his usual second hour hit, and we'll talk to you at 216-578-0850. Get some barks from the dog pound. We'll be back with more CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.